Hi, Carol. How is your garden doing?
Well, Tammy, you know I love my garden, and I am enjoying it mostly. But the biggest problem I have is the pests and the diseases.
Oh, I know. We're not the only ones who enjoy our garden. When we grow lots of plants, we can expect to have lots of visitors. Not just the people who will love to look at our garden, but birds, insects, and little animals will come and want to share the delicious food.
Hello, it's good to be together again on Women of Hope. It's been a long time since we talked about our gardens, isn't it? So, how is your garden growing?
Well, Carol, as you know, I've been having some trouble with pests in my garden as well. That's why you and I were talking to our gardener friend the other day, and the good news is he's given us lots of ideas.
He has, and we're going to share with you some of the things that we can do about these pests, the birds, insects, and other little animals, and how we can stop them from damaging our garden.
We'll tell you about some of the ideas that we've tried and others that we've heard about. But I think we can relax a little because we know now that some of the visitors we used to think were pests are really friends.
That's right. And I still remember my surprise when I found out that we shouldn't try to keep them all away.
Some of them actually help to keep other pests under control, so you can have a whole variety of birds and insects that don't really do too much damage to the garden. They may eat a little, but so long as you get most of your fruit and vegetables, that's okay. I always enjoy talking with our gardener. He knows a lot about gardening and has good, simple ideas to share, so let's talk about some of them today here on Women of Hope.
Control of pests really starts with the health of your plants. Very strong, healthy plants won't get damaged by pests and disease as much as the weak ones. It really helps if you have plants that normally grow well where you live. Walk around your area. Look at other people's gardens. Talk to the gardeners. Ask them which plants grow best, which ones don't have many diseases.
I didn't do that. I planted some fruit trees, but every year they have diseases. I recently asked someone nearby how to control the disease on these trees, and he said, "Oh, those. I used to grow that kind of tree, but I gave up and cut them out years ago. Just grow the trees that grow well here."
And that makes good sense.
But even with those fruits and vegetables that grow well in your area, you will still need to look after them well. We have some little helpers in our garden.
And I know exactly what you mean.
Yes, we have some ducks. They're good gardeners, just as chickens are. They give lots of fertilizer from their droppings and eat some of the pests. And of course, they give us eggs as well.
And I had chickens for a while, but I found that they scratched up my new plants. So I learned the hard way that you need to protect young plants so that they don't get dug up. Maybe you need to put a temporary fence around the seedlings or put a cut-off plastic bottle over each little plant for a while. But allow your chickens or your ducks to get in quite close to those young plants, so that they will fertilize them.
And when it comes to planting vegetables, it's good to mix them up. If you plant all the same type of vegetable or fruit in a long row or in a few rows together, they're much more attractive to the insects and birds. You'll have more success if you mix them up. It may not look as neat, but they'll grow better. And if you put in a garlic plant here and there, it will keep some insects away.
Oh, I've heard about that as well. I don't know the reason, but it does seem to work. Some people keep insects away by spraying or painting on a mixture made out of garlic.
And it's easy to do. Mash some garlic into water and grate in some soft soap. Leave it to soak for a couple of days, then strain out the solids and mix it with lots more water, then spray it onto the plants. They don't mind the smell.
Another idea, and one that makes your vegetable garden look pretty as well, is to plant some flowers here and there and some parsley plants. The flowers attract the bees and other helpful insects, and they can help control the harmful ones. The parsley always looks fresh and green, and some insects just don't like it. This is called companion planting.
One of the real problems for gardeners is fungus disease. It's difficult to control fungus when the weather is wet for a long time. The best way to prevent fungus is to leave space between plants so that the air can get in. But even then, the fungus or mildew can take over. I've heard that chive tea can be helpful. Pour some boiling water over a handful of chive leaves. Let it cool, then strain the leaves out and spray the water on plants like pumpkins and zucchini, on anything that seems to grow fungus or mildew. You can use a watering can with very small holes to spray the tea.
That's a great idea. And I've heard that a mixture of milk and water also stops mildew. So we've just shared a lot of ideas. Sometimes it helps just to go over them again to help them stick in your mind. I know it helps me. So remember, choose plants that are suited to your area. Ask others in the area what seems to grow well.
And ducks and chickens will help fertilize the garden, but make sure you protect the young plants so they don't dig them up or eat them.
Also, mix your plants up to help keep the insects away. And both garlic and parsley will keep a lot of insects away as well.
And chive tea and milk mixed with water is good to help get rid of fungus and mildew. These things should help you to get the most out of your garden.
Sometimes my little heart can't understand what's in your will, what's in your plan. So many times I'm tempted to ask you why.
You, Lord, as it rains in spring, you can see.
Today on Women of Hope, I hope you've learned something that you didn't know about gardening. I know I have. Maybe you have something that you'd like to share with us, something that has worked well in your garden. We'll tell you where you can contact us a little later. You know, this battle with pests in the garden reminds me of something I read in God's Word, the Bible. It comes from Ephesians chapter 6, and it's talking about protecting ourselves. Just like plants that can resist pests, people can resist temptation best if we are trusting in God. Let me read that to you. Let the mighty strength of the Lord make you strong. Put on all the armor that God gives so you can defend yourself against the devil's tricks. We are not fighting against humans. We are fighting against forces and authorities and against rulers of darkness and powers in the spiritual world. So put on all the armor that God gives. Then, when the evil day comes, you will be able to defend yourself. And when the battle is over, you will still be standing firm. Be ready. Let the truth be like a belt around your waist, and let God's justice protect you like armor. Your desire to tell the good news about peace should be like shoes on your feet. Let your faith be like a shield, and you will be able to stop all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Let God's saving power be like a helmet. And for a sword, use God's message that comes from the Holy Spirit.
Blessed is he who will follow the Lord. He will not stand in the path of the sinner. He will not sit in the seat of the scoffer. For the law of the Lord is his delight. By water, he will yield his fruit in its season, his leaf won't die. In whatever he does, he will prosper. That the wind drives away. They are not safe at any time. Their life could perish. Blessed is he who will follow the Lord. He will not stand in the path of the sinner. He will not sit in the seat of the scoffer. For the law of the Lord is his delight. For the law of the Lord is his delight, his delight, his delight.
Maybe you were with us on Women of Hope when we talked with Naomi Reed a little while ago. She told us how she came to understand that the God of the whole universe loved her just as she was, and she said yes to God. Well, Naomi is with us again today. Hello and welcome back, Naomi. We want to hear more of your story.
Well, thank you, Carol. I'm glad to be with you again. Yes, I was only 12 years old, but I knew my life wouldn't be the same again. And I knew that it wasn't enough to be happy because God loved me. God's word said, "Love one another as I have loved you." And that really stayed with me. How could I do that? How could I lay down my life for another?
And did you work out what that meant for you?
I did work it out over time. I'd like to tell you part of my story. So I had a group of friends at high school who also followed Jesus. My family didn't go to church, but these friends helped me to grow in my faith. And one of them was named Darren, and that's another whole other story. But we both studied physiotherapy. We learned how to help people to overcome their injuries and disabilities. And then on a lovely spring day, Darren and I were married, which was beautiful. But a year later, we were sitting on a grassy headland and watching the waves crash onto the beach. And suddenly I asked Darren, "Well, have you ever thought about serving God overseas?" And he was surprised. He said he hadn't. But you see, I'd been reading a book by a woman doctor, and she worked in a Christian hospital in Africa during the time of the revolution. And she wrote about the challenges and the way God had provided for her, even though she was captured by rebels. And it felt like God was asking me some really hard questions. Questions like, what was I willing to do for God? And the answer then was, well, easy things, things I could control. Or where was I willing to go? And I thought, somewhere nice, not too hot, somewhere close by. And then I wondered, well, would God really be able to use me, just a young physiotherapist? And could I trust God when I couldn't be in control of my situation? But in that moment, God reminded me that He loves to use nobodies, those who feel that they are weak. And He promised in His word, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness."
Did you think God was asking you to go to Africa too?
Well, no, I thought He was asking me to be willing to serve Him anywhere, to be available. And then just a week later, I was at a conference learning about new ways of helping disabled people to use artificial arms and legs. And I was fascinated because that was the sort of work that I really liked. And then something happened. A doctor showed a video about the thousands of people who had lost arms and legs when landmines exploded. And it was set in Cambodia after the war there. But the story was the same in many other countries. And these people had no wheelchairs, no crutches, no artificial legs. And suddenly I saw that God's love reached out to those people too. And that maybe I could love them as God had loved me. Maybe God could use me as a physiotherapist to show them His love as I helped them to learn to walk again.
Naomi, you said you asked Darren whether he had ever thought about serving God overseas. So what did he say?
He said, "No, why would I want to do that?" He said, "I'm happy here. I have my job, I have you, I have my friends, I have my sport." He said, "No." But then, over time, God changed his heart until he was just as sure as I was. And I think that was probably the most important part, for us both to be willing to trust God and go wherever he wanted us.
That's often the hard part too, isn't it? To be really willing to obey God when He calls you to do something that you know in your heart is right.
A few months later, we became sure that God wanted us to go to the country of Nepal to work as physiotherapists. And Nepal is a mountainous country. It's between India and China. And we found out that back then Nepal had 20 million people, and at that time only two qualified Nepali physiotherapists, and one of them was overseas.
Sounds like that left one very busy physiotherapist.
Well, that's just what we thought. And here was a way that we could help. God showed us how we could help to work with people with leprosy. And in an amazing way, we learned about a Christian hospital that worked with leprosy patients, people who had lost parts of their hands and feet because of the disease. And we didn't know then how we would pay to get to Nepal or pay for our needs. But it seemed that God had a plan because lots of other people wanted to show God's love too, and they helped us to get there by providing what we needed. And it was always the right amount. It was never more. It was never less. And then lots of other people started to pray for us, and they prayed faithfully for years. And we were so excited about being able to go and love the people of Nepal and serve them in the name of Jesus.
So, you got on a plane in Australia and set off for Nepal.
We did. And then I remember we were flying halfway across the Indian Ocean. And I looked out the window and realized we were hurtling away from everything we knew and everyone we loved at 800 kilometers per hour, which is fast. And we had no return tickets. And I suddenly felt scared, needing comfort. But at the airport, some friends had put goodbye cards into our hands. So we opened them and found words we needed to hear. Someone had written in one of them a part of Psalm 139, and it says, "If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast." And I read those words and I looked out the window, and at just at that point I could see the coast of India coming up. And the far side of the sea was there, the place we would settle, the place we would be held fast by God, and the place he would guide us. And I sat still and felt comforted. The scary pictures, they were still there, but they didn't frighten me anymore. They didn't hold me, because God did.
Naomi, thank you so much for sharing your story. It's been good to hear how God loves people wherever they live, whatever they need. And we need to remember that God wants to use us with all of our weakness to show his love to others, perhaps especially to those who don't know him. He loves me, and he loves you, and he'll show his love through you if you're really willing to follow when he calls you.
Do you have any ideas about how you can show God's love? I think we can always start where we are, with the people nearby. We can try to put the words of Jesus into practice. Love one another as I have loved you.
That's right. And though God called us to go to another country, he also called other people to help us with their gifts and their prayers and their encouraging words. And the question is, how are we each being available to him?
And let's remember those words of faith that comforted Naomi. Your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. What would you say about those words now, Naomi? Did God hold you fast?
Oh, he did. We had some great times and some really hard times, but God held me through all of it, which makes me feel, even today, so sure that I can trust him through anything that life brings.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a candle, and makes his home. So carry your candle, run to the darkness, seek out the hopeless, confused and torn, and hold out your candle for all to see it. Take your candle and go light your world. Take your candle and go light your world. Frustrated try to light his own candle some other way. See now your sister, she's been robbed and lied to, still holds a candle without a time. So let's raise our candles and light up the sky, praying to our Father in the name of Jesus. Make us a beacon in darkest times. So carry your candle, run to the darkness, seek out the helpless, deceived and poor.
We hope you felt encouraged as you listened to Naomi's story. If you love God, you can ask Him to show you how you can pass on His love to others. Naomi's story doesn't stop there, and we're going to ask her to come back and tell us some more about her life. We'd like to hear about your life, too. And remember, if you have something you would like to tell us about your garden, please do. You can contact us at Women of Hope. The email address is twrwomenofhope@twr.org. That's twrwomenofhope@twr.org. Or if you've missed a program or you want to hear it again, visit our website, twrwomenofhope.org, or visit our Facebook page. We do hope you will be with us again. Have a great week, filled with God's blessings.